I've been waiting so long to say this, but boys, we turned it up to 11.
Yeah!
Fuck you.
We're level 11!
Yeah!
We are in the... we just finished up chapter 2 of the third book, and you guys are feeling a bit stronger from what you've been talking about off air. Well, let's go ahead and go around the table with some level ups. This is my favorite banter, because I don't have to make one.
Oh, is that? I thought you said go around the table.
Yeah. Whoever wants to go first.
I want Mark to go first.
Yeah, I'll go first.
I don't know what Rangers get at 11. I know what champions do. I know what I do. I want to hear what Rangers do.
Rangers, honestly, out of everyone else, it's probably pretty simplistic. So if you get the general feat, I picked Ancestral Paragon in order to get another Ancestry feat. Just because the fact is, you know, I work with animal companions. I have really no good way of helping Vimir besides that, because he does have lower AC than I do. So I picked Wildborn Magic as my ancestry feat. That gives me a cantrip, because I'm just all say the cantrip just because, you know, it's not like a 6-level spell. But it's been leveled up because naturally, and it's basically a one action spell, and when I activate it, like if he's in danger or whatnot, I can do something called life block as a reaction, and if he was supposed to take damage, I reduce that damage by 30, but I lose 15 hit points.
This protect companion, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the shield cantrip, except you cast it on your Eidolon or your companion.
Yeah, and I take the damage, 15, like half of the damage, basically.
No, that's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, so that works actually fairly well, because I mean, like 30, 15, I mean, whatever, it's not bad, but I mean, like, just the fact is he's protective of them. So the other things, they got basic Wild Stride, which is kind of cool. Basically, non-magical difficult terrain, I don't care about it. don't worry about it. I can walk through it like it's normal. And greater difficult terrain is just difficult terrain to me. Medium armor expertise. So my AC actually jumped up quite a bit. It went from 28 to 31.
Whoa.
Okay.
That's a big boost
for you.
Oh, yeah, really? And Juggernaut. So, now we got three people, unless Kezra also gets Juggernaut. I'm not sure. But that's awesome, because
I am a sorcerer, remember. I know I'm an orc,
I know. I was like the barbarian level, so I thought it got you something pretty strong, too.
I wish.
But that's great. But, you know, one thing that that's pretty good is my Hunt Prey ability. At level 11, I get an extra d8 to my damage of precision. So instead of 1d8, it's 2d8.
Ooh.
And that
and
also
Vimir
counts.
Gets 2d8.
Yes, he does. Yeah. So Vimir's going to do, if he hits, 4d8 plus 5 points of damage. And
wow.
Yeah. And Elkwood, you know, just for the hell of it, I'm just going to do Striking Great Club. Let's see what we got for damage. Just estimation. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty solid. I mean, 2d10s, 2d8s, just swinging it out.
Awesome.
Unreal.
So yeah, no, he just does a lot more damage now.
All right.
And also that works with Warden's Boon, so...
Nice.
Dishing out d8s.
So I can give someone 2d8s for damage. So good.
Hell yeah. Okay. Elko got a lot more dangerous. I don't like that. All right. Who next?
I guess I'll go next.
All right.
I'm basically just, I'm beefier. I hit better. My Retributive Strike is even more badass than it was before. So the second I use it, allies within 15 feet of me get an attack of opportunity that they can use on my turn, but it is a -5 on the swing.
Attack of opportunity, though.
I was going to say, yeah, the AOOs. that's one of the things that you guys are missing in this party is AOOs. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But if we are surrounding something and you get Retributive Strike, we all get to take a swing. And, like,
yeah,
wow.
at least Elk and Grimshaw are probably going to hit.
Yeah.
And I love this, like, story wise, because Benson is, you are always calling shots during combat. And now the team is finally getting the picture. Follow Benson's lead. Love it.
Even when he dimension doors right behind a very, very high level wizard. And then gets teleported out of the tower.
That fight.
Out of the window.
Even with the rules problems, that fight was total crack.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy stuff happened at the time. We were split the entire time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was basically me and Kel and just trying to run around like crazy.
Wild. And hiding. Yeah, just hiding behind Grimshaw's shield. Taking hot shots.
Another fun thing I took is me and Jake noticed I was missing a couple of skill feats on my character sheet.
Oh, oh no.
Whoa, so you just like, you got like a basically a double level up.
Well, yeah. I took Sanctify Water, so every day I can make a jug of holy water.
Oh, really?
Which would have been really fucking helpful last fight.
You know?
Fortunately, Tim is a really good prayer. Grimshaw's a good prayer.
Grimshaw's praying. He's been practicing and he's praying.
Pray. You're doing immersion.
But only in battle. I don't know if you noticed, but Milani does not answer prayers. That's not a battle for me.
Milani, please do this. I sent you to do that.
I'm busy right now.
You're the answer to prayers.
I'm just watching my tunes and smoking my camels.
All right.
I'll go next because it's pretty similar. So Benson and I both got Divine Will, which that means our will saves boosted to master, meaning whenever we roll a success, we get a crit success. So not only are we juggernauts, we are also boosted by the divine. So what's so incredible about this is we just have gone through this whole chapter just being pummeled by will saves left and right.
Yeah, it was fucked up.
Yeah. But guess what, Jake? The story has the karma that is biting you right back. Just try to charm us. Just try to do whatever nasty crap you're gonna do. Because
you know what,
it ain't working no more.
The will saves are in the book, man. I don't know what to say.
My ability powered up as well. So with Liberating Step, if I give Liberating Step to an ally and they are not breaking free of an effect like a grapple, restrain, etc., they, along with me and all allies within 15 feet of me, can take a free step.
Oh my god.
Like, suddenly, our battlefield mobility just exploded. So, like, just free step and adjacent to the enemy.
I like to think that we're all, like, surrounding a giant monster and we use this and we just run around in a circle like, ha, 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 ha.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah, line.
We literally all just run up to it. You guys both trigger your reactions. All of us free step and surround it. And then we all get strikes on it while it's flat-footed.
It's incredible.
It's so great.
Because I don't want to give up the long strider wand, I have taken trick magic item. So now I can actually spend an action to get the 10 feet of movement speed. So I apologize to all the hardcore rules lawyers out there who are probably tearing their hair out for
thousands,
so many episodes.
Are you hundreds trained? Of thousands of people.
Are you trained in Arcana?
Arcana, yes, or... I am.
There you go.
Yes, I am.
Probably only
that's what Kelly's eyes, like, crossing my T's.
Kelly also reread the rules before this episode.
Yeah, I couldn't take the skill feat if I wasn't trained in Arcana, so.
You could take it for any of the traditions. But you have to be trained. You have to be
in the tradition that you want the wand for.
May or may not have taken that.
Jake hasn't banned it in our game, so we're gonna use that I one know. One of the like three Pathfinder 2E exploits.
Yep.
That is easily the biggest downside playing champion. You feel like you can never get anywhere fast enough. So just that little bit of extra movement just means everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You either have to cheat or you have to take the skill feat. I mean, whichever your GM allows.
I cheated.
I just cheated. You just kept letting me do it. All right. And how's Kezra feeling in level 11 now?
Save the best Kezra's for last, baby.
Well, I mean, obviously. I'm the spellcaster. The most fun things happen for me, no matter how far the elves are.
I just played a super powerful wizard. I totally understand.
So level 11 is big for me because my weapon proficiency actually increases. So my attacks went from plus 17 to plus 20 for my claws.
Ooh,
yeah, stuff. So that's a good one. My perception went up, so maybe I'll roll slightly worse or slightly less bad on initiative rolls.
Okay.
The general feat I took, because I am very tired of being bad at stealth, is untrained improvisation, which at this level, my proficiency bonus to all untrained skills is my level plus the relevant skill ability. So now my stealth went from plus 3 to plus 14.
Oh, wow. Damn, that's pretty good.
So my stealth, survival, my society, religion, performance, occultism, nature, medicine, I don't have like any intelligence. Diplomacy, deception, they all went from like 3 or 4 to all like 14 and 13.
That's solid.
Pretty huge.
Yeah, so now I won't just auto fail every stealth roll while I'm invisible, because that really
chat my ass.
Yeah, how many times you were just like, but I'm invisible. And Jake's like, I know.
Yeah, and you're loud and smelly.
Dude, how long ago was it we fought those giant birds in the Mwangi that picked Kezra out, and he was so fucking salty?
Oh, yeah.
But giant apex invisible predators. Yeah, but you smell. And you're like, God damn it.
Other than that, so moving on to spells, all of your focus spells and cantrips auto heighten, but by Dragon Breath, I'll just note that one went from 9d6 to 11d6.
Oh my god. Ooh, so fantastic.
So
that's fucking insane.
At level 11, I unlock 6th level spells. Oh, and I'm only going to give you one because it's the most obvious, but I took Chain Lightning.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
500-foot range, you target one creature plus any number of additional creatures. Any number. So as long as the creatures are within range of the last one that the lightning hit, within 500 feet, it will continually go, but you can't hit the same person twice.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, so it ends if somebody critically succeeds.
Okay.
Or you run out of targets. Within range.
What's the save? Reflex?
It's reflex.
Okay.
And it's a whopping 8d12 damage.
Yeah. Oh. Yep. Damn.
I will say, just because of the reflex save, I think I don't see it bouncing to nearly as many people. But yeah, that's awesome.
You have to crit save, though.
Yeah, the crit succeed.
If
something succeeds, it continues to bounce. It's just if somebody critically succeeds, they, I guess, block it.
Or it hits the ground or something. Yeah.
It's the same damage, or does the damage increase as
you roll
bounces?
The damage once for every creature. Like, you roll the damage once, and that's the damage everybody gets.
That's a huge time saver.
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
So that is one of my 3 level 6 spells.
3. Oh my goodness.
Wait, you got 3 level 6?
Sorcerers, man. They get all...
Sorcerers. They're more on spell slots than they are on like spell levels.
Yeah, so
their spell ranks.
At every level, you get a spell based on your bloodline that's predetermined.
Yeah.
And then when you unlock a new rank, you get 2. And then at the next level, I'll get a 3rd 6 level spell.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, and I already know what I'm taking for that one. It was the one that missed the list. There were some really fun spells at 6th level. It was easy to choose these.
After you get past like level 4, spells just start getting fucking wacky.
They are.
the paragraphs that I see when I'm like reading like the spells on like boss monsters or something, I'm just the fuck?
They're crazy. So this level was also interesting because the Player Core 2 came out and I got to see what's in the Sorcery Remaster. And because I built Kezra specifically to be like melee-ish. They took like all the melee out of dragon and demon sorcerers. Because they both had focus spells that gave you the demon gives you jaws that also grant temporary hit points, and dragons gave you claws. And they took those, they changed those to range 2-action spells. And honestly, the dragon, they changed dragon claws to like dragon flurry, which is 30 feet.
Draconic Fury?
It's like 30 feet, and you make 2 claw attacks, or something like that. And the multiple attack penalty doesn't even increase until after you make both attacks. And it heightens like every level or every spell level. It's actually really powerful, but I'm not going to be taking it because that's not how I built Kezra. I'm going to keep Dragon Claws. They also with all the dragon changes, they're not the chromatic dragons. They're not based on elements anymore. And I've played Kezra as this blue dragon. His theme is lightning. Well, like. Right now, like, if I changed him, his breath weapon would become, like, a 30-foot cone of arcane energy. And I'm like, that's just, like, not what I've been doing with Kezra. They changed all the draconic breath weapons to cones, so there's no 60-foot lines anymore. Oh. And they're either, like, a blast of arcane energy. Primal, I think, is always fire. Occult is always mental. It's, like, a mental breath weapon. And then Divine is, I think it's Sanctified or something. It's like Holy or Unholy or something. I can't remember.
That's still weird that they don't, like, let you choose between lines or, like...
They just changed it because that was, like, specifically, like, the blue dragon had a line of lightning, whatever.
Yeah, right. I think lines are inherently stronger than short-range cones.
Oh. Situation, I mean, pretty much...
Easier to not hit your allies for sure.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kezra's definitely been doing better with lines, just like bulldozing down lines of people.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be taking a lot of the changes. There's the bloodline spells changed around. So I might take some and not others. I don't know. I kind of see the remaster as like you just get a whole bunch of new shit for your class. Yeah, exactly. It's just like option now. That's basically what they said. They said like use what you want. So
yeah. Which the as we run this game, we're definitely going to be doing that because I mean like the there's going to be some new paladin stuff coming out, and so eventually when that comes out, and then Path Builder or whatever we use updates it, then you know we'll see what the champions want to do with their paladins and stuff. Yeah, but you know we're doing what we want with the game, and we're going to have fun with it. So.
There's one thing they added that I'm definitely taking. Is at level 1, they give there was a feat called Dangerous Sorcery that they allowed you to add if you cast from a spell slot, so not a cantrip, you add the amount of damage to your spell equal to the spell level. So like a fifth level spell adds 5 damage to whatever five you damage. Do. So they added
that's cool.
They added that as a class feature instead of a feat. So you get that at level 1. All sorcerers get it, and it applies to any healing they do too. So if you take a sorcerer that gets heal, you'll get whatever spell rank of heal in bonus damage that you cast.
That's man, neat. that makes the 3-action heal so much more viable. They made sorcerers
like definitely the most powerful class now, because that was a feat that was good. But I don't think I ever usually took it because I like some of the other second level feats. So yeah, that's class feature. Sorcerers are powerful, man.
Yeah, seriously. Yep.
Saying they're the most powerful, though. Do you want a 1v1 me or Benson? I don't think you do. We just got to restrain you and you can't cast.
With you, let's be honest.
Oh, what? You're turning into a Drake? That thing I one-shot? Right?
He goes, ah, yes, again.
Nobody expects the flying Benson.
So there is something still happening here. Even though you guys are 11th level, some of you guys are still dealing with some stuff. So we are still technically an initiative for some persistent damage happening.
Yep.
Let's get some persistent damage off now. Let's just try to wrap this up here really quick.
Yep.
Who's dealing with persistent damage?
Me.
Okay.
Me.
So go ahead and I don't know if you took it at the beginning of your turn, but I think it's just the D6 of bleed, I believe.
Okay. Roll for it.
Yep. So
if you want, you can give it to us both. We can both roll at the same time.
Two bleed.
Okay. Ow.
And then go ahead and roll, but tell me what you rolled, please.
Oh, because Elkwood's is special.
Yes, Elkwood's has a different one. You failed. Okay.
I passed mine. I got 19.
Okay. All right, you're good.
Whew.
All right, so Elkwood is still dealing with this.
Yep. Mm.
So, if you guys want, you can see Elkwood is bleeding. So
yeah, the wound I would say probably looks a lot more jagged, and so a difference between getting cut with a nice clean blade and then one that's dull, the wound doesn't look good.
Yeah. So. It's also the cut itself is like hot.
Oof.
Yeah, like he's wincing. Like even though it's just two damage, he's just like. Kind of twitches his head for a moment, like looking at it, and just kind of tries to be like, come on, okay, that's bleeding more than I expect.
Benson run up and grab these like bed sheets and try to staunch the wound.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep, I'm gonna do that.
Alright, so he goes up and tries to staunch it. So
yeah,
go ahead.
I'm out of heals for at least 10 more minutes. So
okay. Alright, go ahead and roll the flat check again then.
Failed.
Alright, there's a fail.
How much damage?
4 bleed.
Benson's like, stay with me, Elkwood, and slaps him across the face.
6 damage. okay.
You can do first aid on him.
I can?
Yeah, first aid.
You have to have a feat for that.
Nope, it's an untrained medicine check. It can help him on. It can help him on his. Check for bleed.
On the fly check. Checks. Yeah.
Okay, I will do that.
All right.
So just roll medicine.
Medicine.
Just a. I don't know if you're trained in medicine, but you don't have to be trained for first aid. Unless it says you need. You need healer's tools.
He has healer's gloves. Though.
Fuck, healer's gloves.
Yeah, use them.
Right. Okay. Go ahead and make me a counteract check.
Oh.
Do I add anything to that?
It would be whatever, if you get your spells, there's like a, whatever like the attack is on like next to your spells, that's the equivalent of what this would be.
You should also have a class DC. If you go under focus spells,
plus 19, I just saw it.
Okay, that makes
plus
sense.
Plus 19?
Yeah.
35.
35. Okay, so you're able to do it. That was a really good roll. So you are able to heal him, Elkwood, it's still bleeding, and you can still feel it burn.
Yeah. So, Nar, check, flat check.
Yep.
Oh my god, I'm rolling garbage here.
Oh no.
I healed you for 13 points, by the way.
Oh, okay, that works.
Okay. Grimshaw, are you able to help him at all?
Grimshaw is actually at the fallen wizard, and even though he is clearly gone from this world, he's trying to resuscitate him. And you just hear him be like, "No, no, no! You're my next lead. No, no."
At that, I think Benson suddenly shouts. I was like, he wasn't going to tell you anything anyway. Get over here.
You don't know that. You don't know these people like I do. Everyone breaks, Benson. Everyone breaks.
He just keeps going and, Jessica Breshids, but chest compressions that are just probably squeezing blood
every time
out
he pushes his down, more blood comes out of his mouth.
Yeah,
out of his neck.
Yeah,
just,
you see, you actually see Benson. He uses his last focus, his focus point, his lay on hands.
All right.
Oh.
unless you have a resurrected now, you're not getting help. He's dead.
Can I roll? All right.
Kezra remember. Oh, wait. We saw it.
Kezra's like, see ya. I wonder if that's not the cross street.
I know there's two damage there, Mark.
Wait, so an 18 doesn't work?
An 18 does not work.
Fuck.
Yeah, this is bad. I guess I'll just roll a medicine check.
All right, you can go ahead and roll for administer aid. Okay. Minister first aid, but with you looking at this wound, you've seen some wounds before. This thing looks much worse. It looks like there's some infernal,
wonderful
infernal magic happening with this wound.
Need to pray it away.
Think we can rush into some healers.
Well, we do have six healing potions, moderate healing potions.
Essentially, yeah.
Until this goes away, yes.
Could I do a nature check since for medicine, I can do nature for medicine?
This is a divine thing specifically, so
the I'm gonna say no.
So, but so the if either one of the champions wants to roll religion, find out what this thing is.
Yeah, I can do that.
You can do it on the devil itself if you wanted to kind of know that, or if you just wanted to do this specifically. I'll
try on the wound.
Okay.
Do that roll of shit.
What was your total? Because this it was a very low religion check for the devil itself.
Okay.
For this devil, 22. And not the devil. 22. Yeah. You succeed. They are known as Barbazoos or bearded devils.
Oh yeah.
This thing is a attached to their glaive, they have something called Infernal Wound. The Bearded Devil's glaive strike also does bleed damage that resists attempts to heal it. The flat check to stop the bleeding starts at a DC 20.
Fuck.
Fantastic.
The DC to administer first aid to a creature with an infernal wound is increased by 5.
Whoa.
A spellcaster or item attempting to use healing magic on a creature suffering from an infernal wound must succeed on a DC 21 counteract check or the magic fails to heal the creature.
Right. Whoa.
What? This is something that you'll... Like, in the world wound, these are devils, but, like, you know, when people fight these things, when champions fight these things, you see them drop after the combat because they can't stop bleeding.
Hmm.
And so the devils still leave their mark.
Yeah.
So literally the only way is to hit that, in order to lower the DC, you have to hit that first aid, which is high.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or literally Mark has to roll a nat 20.
Yeah, which is fine. I got plenty of HP. I could just keep
rolling. No, when Benson realizes this, he leans down, picks up Elkwood, looks at Grimshaw, and goes, "Where's the closest temple?" And he got
You don't have to pick me up. I'm fine.
Oh, you can walk? You're what?
Okay. I'm in triple digits, man.
Sorry, I was just trying to be helpful.
No, it's fine. We can figure this out. There's people up here anyway. We have to three.
I was going to leave Kezra to do that, but all right.
Well, unless you trust him with chains and stuff, I'm getting them off. And he's just going to kind of start walking. He's bleeding, but he seems uninterested.
Benson suddenly feels very foolish by his need for haste.
So he's we're not in initiative anymore?
Well,
I'm just waiting for my turn.
I know.
My bad.
We're trying to figure out an elk's thing here. So he's gonna bleed every single 6 seconds.
I mean, okay. So can we just I don't know? He says as long as someone does like a first aid or something, it reduces the DC, right? Or was it the opposite?
So
is this a magical effect?
It's a divine magical effect.
Kezra casts spell magic at fifth level.
Okay.
Does that work?
I can target a spell effect.
Or... I guess so. I mean, it's an infernal wound. It's not like a... It's divine.
It just says a spell effect.
Oh. Oh, yeah. It's not a spell effect, though. This is, like I said, it's something attached to, like, their glaives. It's not exactly like a spell effect or anything like that.
Yeah. It's like a class ability.
Supernatural. Sort of.
Yeah. It's a supernatural ability.
Well, I mean, either way. Just keep rolling d20s until I hit that natural 20, I guess.
You have a 5th level spell left?
What? Actually, I had 3 of them left.
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
Gosh.
Actually, two of them, sorry.
So take two more damage there, Mark.
Okay. Wait. If you are close... Okay, by the rules, if you hit full HP, you bleed stops. We have 6 moderate healing potions. He could chug healing potions till he hit full HP and then the bleed would just stop. Or, if you want to take your chances and just keep rolling, we could just like just bang out, you know, 20 rolls, and then just as soon as you hit a 20, we start, you know, start counting some damage or something. Like,
you know what, Mark? Go ahead and do that.
Good. No, don't roll 8d. I'll just roll 8d20s, dude.
Roll 8d20s.
I got like 130 something health right now.
Okay, all right.
You're probably so, but that's the thing. You're probably so close to full. Because if you're really close to full, then we can just heal you, and then we don't have to roll.
The curse will counteract the healing potions.
Yeah, they can. Yeah.
Oh, because...
yeah, well, it says, yeah, spellcaster or item attempting to use healing magic.
Oh my god, it's such a pain in the dick.
Yes. Right. Devils are a huge pain in the dick. Did you hit a 20 there, Mark, in that?
Nope.
All right, so there's 32 more points of bleed.
Oh my gosh.
There we go.
I'm just like watching this Elkwood just bleed out on this fucking floor. He's like, I'm fine, guys, I'm fine.
I swear, I'm fine.
Just grabbing more blankets and they keep getting saturated with blood. Just, it won't stop fucking bleeding.
All right, I'm just all roll d20s. Oh my god. Or, god, what was it that all you had to do was do a first aid or something?
Medicine check.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I feel like in addition to the 8d20s, like, whoever has medicine should be rolling many medicine checks to see if we can reduce the DC.
Also, is this other, like, dude still coming up the steps?
Oh, yeah.
The evangelist.
I'll get into him at the end of the episode, don't you worry.
I said he's just going to get up here and be like, well...
Oh my god,
I'm
Mark,
out of the job.
Mark,
but
I just rolled 8d20. I rolled 3 natural 20s.
Of course you did.
Classic.
All right. Well,
so what would that reduce the DC to then?
It would reduce it to the regular
15.
Oh, well, 15.
Did you get a 15?
I got an 18, like right now.
Right now. Okay. Yeah. So all right. So after a lot of bleeding. A lot of blood on the floor. Elkwood is finally able to staunch the wound with everybody's help.
Thank you. This feels so much better. And he's just rolling his arm back. He kind of really seems nonplussed by the whole situation. He feels very good. Namely, because he killed the wizard. And it's just a giddiness. He says, all right, let's search first. Let's get this all sorted out.
Start rummaging.
You think you could... Yeah, Casually, could you start on the wizard? Elkwood, could you help me with these people? Grimshaw, you too?
You see, Grimshaw, is just, his face is just darkened.
Also, in the room right across the hall that Benson and I came out of, there were people in there.
Yeah, there were people.
Yes. So there were... let's see, what room is that? That is H3D.
It's like poke their heads in, and we're all just standing around Elk while he bleeds, and we're all like, can't do anything.
Hey guys, just ignore this.
A door the explorer band-aid on it, and he finally staunches it.
he puts a band-aid, it just falls right off. He's like, let's put another band-aid on there.
Tries it, but this time he staples it on.
There you go. I'll keep it. So in this room, so the room that was right across the hall from where the wizard was, there are 5 stevedores, dock workers.
Oh, okay.
For
a second, stevedores. I thought you said humidors. I was like, they're storing cigars up here?
That's definitely what I associated that with as well.
Well, you said, I thought you said Stevedores.
Benson likes to.
Stevedores, Stevedores. So yeah, it's five dock workers that are being kept here. You see that their little name badge says Sunset Imports. That's what it was. Mm. So it looks like they were dock workers of Sunset Imports.
Do they have name tags on?
Yes.
What are each of their names?
They're all scratched out. Anyway, so
it was part of the torture process.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't get to have a name.
No.
They obviously thank you for freeing them, and they're just like, we don't know where they were taking us. They brutalized us here, and you can see a lot of them have like some of their teeth might be cracked. They got bruises and black eyes. And they say they were torturing us. They kept saying that if we could get by one of them, then they'd let us go. But we tried in desperation, but we just couldn't do it. We just couldn't do it. They weren't even going to let us. They weren't even going to let us go though.
Yeah, he puts like a handle like the one of them. I think it was the one he probably would have recognized that he saw like getting the crap beaten out of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Do not worry. They are now dead. You are free.
I think all it's right? going to be pretty easy for you to get around them now, since they're on the floor.
Yes.
They actually saw the fireball go off because that door was open.
The door's open, the fireball goes in, and they're like, oh my god!
I was nice enough to give them plot armor in the fireball explosion.
Thanks, Dean.
They roll natural 20 while they're chained up.
While handcuffed to the bed. So they gather their things and they kind of like treat their wounds and stuff, and then they go out into the hallway where there's spells casted. There was like the snake spell was still, or slither spell, was still writhing there for a second or two after the wizard died. And there's a bunch of corpses the two thugs actually that were tormenting them, so they give a few kicks to the head of the corpses of those guys.
Good, good.
Which door do you want to go in next?
Doesn't matter. Elks, he remembered seeing a bunch of people. I think the first one, because he remembered specifically that like it was the first window he looked in, and that was like the woman was like crying in the bed and stuff like that.
This woman is in here. She is a female human scholar, so she's got like scholarly clothes on. She's manacled next to a bed, and she is manacled next to a man. So it looks like they're sort of like chained together.
Yeah.
But she is terror stricken, and she's just weeping here.
Yeah. Holds his arms up, just kind of approaches slowly. Don't obey, I'm here to free you.
Who are you? Please, no, I can't take anymore. Please.
You're fine. I'm not here to hurt you.
And what are you going to do?
And he just kind of approaches, and honestly, God, think about the acrobatic, elvish stepness of this, of just like him gliding up. He touches the handcuffs and uses a thievery check on it.
It's the regular manacle, okay, so you should be able to get it pretty easily.
Super crazy one. Yeah, so he just kind of touches on, does a couple of actions, and rolls a 30.
Okay. Her manacles come out, and she falls to the floor, and she just kind of rolls onto the floor right in front of the bed, and she kind of, like, scurries away. Still, like, kind of weary of you, but she's clearly been set free, so she's just kind of in a weird state right now.
He's just on continuing to unlock all the other manacles. I mean, like, he's looking around, like, as of all the other people.
The only other person you see in here is the guy she was chained next to, and he is dead. So she was chained to a dead guy.
Wonderful.
It's not the best.
Yeah.
Nope.
Exhales.
Was he, like, beaten to death, or was he...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just so he died from his wounds.
Yes. Yeah, probably some kind of horrible concussion that took him, and then they just never and came back.
And what about the third room? Can Benson go in there?
Yeah, so if you go to the bottom left room, H3C, you can see that there are more dock workers. They are very clearly malnourished. There's six of them. It looks like they might have been strong at one point, but it looks like they have been in here for several weeks. They even tell you that they've been in custody for several weeks. They were taken and beaten, and they were put in place, but they were taken because they were, quote, strong.
Hmm. Okay. Did you get the inclination that they were going to do something with you?
They were going to transport us somewhere, as far as I know. But I'm not quite sure where. But they were holding us for weeks.
All right, stay put. You're safe now. They're all dead. I'm going to get the guy that can get you out of here. And Benson goes, grabs Elkwood one.
All right, Elkwood, you're able to easily let all of them go.
Well, actually, like as soon as Benson probably comes in here, he's going to look at him and then to the woman who's like obviously scared shitless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you could help her. I'm not quite good at this whole...
Go help the men in that room. Face. I'll take care of things now. Benson will slowly approach. Hello, what's your name?
My name is Drina Strapwell.
It's very nice to meet you. My name is Sir Benson Black. I'm champion of Ioma Day, and I'm here to help.
Thank you. It's been so long. I've never experienced anything like this. I'm just a scholar. I'm just... What could they have used me for?
It's okay. Even the deepest dark...
Why did this happen to me?
Because... The things in this world that command the darkness are very cruel, but even in the deepest darkness, the light can find you, and I have found you.
She takes some shelter, in your words. Elkwood, like I said, you're able to set free the other dock workers easily enough. They all start congregating in the main room, just kind of trying to like comfort each other and everything like that. And then there is the last room here on the directly across from the one you were just in.
Unlocked.
Yep. In this one, you see.
Two more wizards. Oh god.
Two lightning bolts. You see four halflings. Wow. One of them looks like that. Elkwood, you're the only one who sees this. But when you open up the door, she quickly turns her head around and she goes,
"Ah, our saviors are here. Come, please, let us out."
She's played by Judi Dench.
Oh,
I was gonna say she's solid. Just like. A young Jane Lynch.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Oh, yeah, that's good, yeah. She's got this ferocity, though, like Judi Dench. If you want to roll knowledge local on her, you are more than welcome to. She's a pretty popular person, actually.
Culture and society.
Yes, sorry, I don't know where I am. Society.
You're still in first edition.
I'm still in first edition.
No, that was a 20.
No, more than enough to know. That is Laria Longroad, the owner of Longroad's Coffee House.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, damn.
So she's like, "Come over here, my knight in shining armor. These people need to be set free."
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sure there'll be a coffee on the house, right?
The lifetime of coffee for you and your friends. I assume you did not do this all yourself.
Oh, no. Well, we'll meet back in the main room, and he unlocks everyone's manacles.
All right. The halflings in here. She explains that she was they seem a bit more chipper than the other prisoners, and it's because of Larry Longroads, who was keeping their spirits high during this. And she goes,
"See, our champions here to save us all. And your names?"
As Benson walks into the main room, you've noticed that right before he left, he put the cloak of Iomide over his shoulders and says, "I can only let you borrow this, but take shelter." And he tries to lead her out to the main room.
Aww. Yep. So there's a big group of freed prisoners in the main area where all that combat happened, and there's devil blood on the floor and a fireball explosion soot. it is a mess. But people are just happy to not be manacled to beds or other furniture. And so
I'm assuming. Because Benson wants to lead these people out of here, but I also want to know what that wizard did that on him.
Kezra just like looks at Grimshaw. He's like, "All right." He like circles the wizard. He's like staring down at him, just being like, "It's like finally bested. Got nothing." He spits on him, and then he just starts rummaging through his pockets. He looks at Grimshaw, and he's like, "See if this asshole had anything on him that could help us." And he starts looking through notes, looking for like a notebook or letters or whatever, and he starts throwing all of his magical shit into a pile.
There is a lot of a lot of stuff here. So there are books upon books, letters upon letters, and notes scrawled all over the place. Some of it in common, a lot of it in Infernal. So unless you know how to read that, we will, okay. Well, let's go over the items, specifically here. You find a key that has a skull on the base of it.
Skeleton key.
Skeleton key, baby.
You find a thurible. Have you guys gotten a thurible already?
Did?
I don't think
so. Is that
so.
A big balloon that flies in the sky? I'm not a derision. Sorry.
I feel like we have gotten a thorough bowl.
Is that the battle game with like herbs?
Yeah, with myrrh and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay, so this is a moderate thorough bowl of revelation.
Adelard didn't have one?
I think he definitely had
one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It was a lesser.
I remember a thurible, but I think it was a consumable, and he used it.
Yeah, I mean, they are consumables.
They ate the thurible.
What kind of thurible was it? Did you tell?
Moderate so thurible of revelation.
Moderate, yes. Press enter. Dangles from a length of chain, and most thurbles of revelation are adorned with swirling Empyrean text, though some are iron and feature diabolic or Chthonian text. this one has infernal on it, because of course it does.
I can't believe these demonic cultists don't speak draconic.
So this one says, you light the incense inside the censer and it burns for 1 hour. During the time, as long as you're holding the thurible, you get a +2 item bonus to religion checks. Additionally, once per day when you activate the thurible, you can increase its revelations. During that activation, you can hold the thurible up to your eye with the interact action to gain the effects of See the Unseen for one round by peering through the smoke.
Oh, that's Holy actually crap. Correct.
Yeah.
Wow, and that's actually pretty good.
Great is this spell. A consumable or not a consumable? It's just an item?
I don't think it is.
Sick. It's an item.
Yeah.
Sick.
It's an item. Let's see. The other thing is... his large spellbook. It's all written in Infernal, but I'll tell you, it's just got a bunch of spells in it. Except this thing looks like... do you remember the book from The Mummy?
Oh, yes.
Where it's got like the lock on the dead, shit like that. Yes, it's like that, except it's like, you know, devil themed and stuff.
Awesome. Cool.
This thing is heavy, and in the back there appears to be a three different spells that look very, very powerful. That is awesome. All I'm going to be able to say, since you guys don't know how to read that. Go ahead and roll a knowledge check on the identifying the. The key.
All right.
No. You're peering at this. And Grimshaw pulls out from his pocket a similarly looking key. And you actually notice that, you know, most types of these keys, like Jake said, they have a skull at the base. You see his has a little ruby in the left eye, and that one that you're holding has a ruby in the right eye. And he looks at it and is like,
I see the key has finally found its mate. I was wondering where that was.
Kestra holds it up and is like, are we supposed to touch them or something?
No. They are used independently. This is a very powerful item. It's known as a skeleton key.
It is a skeleton key, right, Jake? I'm just assuming. Based on the...
It is, okay. But I'll tell you that
it's special.
This is a skeleton key greater.
Ooh. So maybe it has two rubies.
Yes, gold exactly, yes.
You're like, damn, that key was cool.
So yeah, the a grinning skull tops the bow, this macabre key. This key can be used in place of thieves' tools when attempting to pick a lock, and it grants a +2 item bonus to the thievery check. If the skeleton key becomes broken due to critical failure on the check, it works as normal thieves' tools kit and loses its benefit until repaired. So it's a little neat little caveat there. You can activate it. This might be an old version because I looked it up before. And it got better actually.
My immersion is ruined.
So the new one. So the it's a free action to once per day called Loosen Lock. The key casts a breach on the lock you're trying to pick. Just brink, done. Once per day. If you really need to get into some place, it's a free action.
Holy crap.
Well, once per day. You said this is greater, right?
Oh, yeah.
That means it's once per hour.
Oh, once per hour, yeah. Holy. Yep.
That's the benefit, is it's once per hour.
Awesome.
Damn. Yeah, Grimshaw, he thinks he knows what this is, but, you know, he's realizes,
no. The magic in this key is greater. Much more powerful than the one I have.
Do you want it back, or should I hold on to this?
No, keep it. It's better if they're kept apart, I think.
Kezra pockets the greater skeleton key.
Sick.
All right.
Elf doesn't even need it.
No. Okay, so that, unless you can read Infernal somehow, like a comprehend languages or something.
He sees the book, and can maybe Kezra's kind of leafing through it, not understanding the words. And he says,
"If you give me some time, I can look through that. But It might take me a while to study it."
And Grimshaw pulls out from his inventory some spectacles.
How many fucking magical items do you have?
I remember this. Yes. Yeah.
So they're wood frame spectacles that hold flat discs cut of crystal for the lenses, and they're held in place with thin cords that wrap around each ear.
These glasses here. I can decipher any language, I can read any language, but the effect only lasts for about 1 hour. So, deciphering such a large tome will take me many nights of study, but we can figure out what power it unlocks.
Right, maybe. I'm mostly interested, maybe mostly interested in these last couple of pages that look a little extra.
Yeah, and you said he had letters and stuff on him too, right?
Yes, all of them are written in Infernal.
Yeah, so Kezra looks at those greedily and is like,
maybe he can't speak beyond the grave.
And you see, like, Grimshaw's hands are just covered in this man's blood.
But maybe these hold the answer to what I seek.
I'd like to envision Kezra flipping through this wizard spellbook, and he's like, Damn wizards, they never put any pictures in here.
Magic's really about vibes, you know.
All right, so do you want to I'll say that you can look at both. So I'll go through what this book is first. Okay. This book has a name.
Oh.
It is called the Extraplanar Registry. Okay.
Whoa, cool.
Anyone who can read it can use this detailed tome to gain a +2 item bonus to recall knowledge about outsiders.
Mm.
Oh.
Its greater value, however, comes in from 3 rituals.
Yes.
The rituals are as follows. Commune.
A ritual commune?
Yeah.
Imprisonment.
Oh, shit.
And planar ally.
Okay. Ironically, I think we already have planar ally. Yeah, we already have planar ally.
Well, okay. We can't use this anyway.
No. Anybody can use rituals. You just need skill checks.
Anybody can.
You just have to have the skill.
Rituals are skill checks.
Yep.
Skills to pay the bills.
Wait a second.
So this large book containing untold knowledge about fiends and outsiders and the rituals in the back, I can tell you it is worth 1,500 gold pieces.
Fuck.
That's well, damn.
That ain't no pocket change.
Dang.
It feels like a forbidden text.
Hmm.
Like you're like holding it and you're like reading it, the Grimshaw, and you're like looking through and you're like, I should not be reading some of this stuff.
Hmm.
It's talking about like how to summon certain devils and like which one of them like the taste of children better. Like it's some weird shit, and you're just like, I don't know about this.
Yeah. So Grimshaw is like leafing through this. I guess he has the spectacles on. He's leafing through.
Yeah.
And suddenly a very dark idea crosses his mind. And just the words, you know, Elkwood just like moans before being like, you can't resurrect, like, what do you do, resurrect him? And he looks up at Kezra, because it's just Grimshaw and Kezra in this room. And he's like, Kezra, do you remember when we passed through the portal? We found a couple rituals. One of them was the same one contained in this book. Planar ally to summon an ally from beyond. But the other ritual we found was resurrection. I can bring this man back and I can get the information I need, but I need someone else to aid me. Can I count on you? I know you want revenge on them just as badly as I want information, but I don't trust Benson. He wouldn't want to bring him back. I don't know where Elkwood lies.
I don't think we can do anything that rash yet. Let's decipher these letters. Decipher all these. See if we can find what we're looking for. Doing a ritual like that would be drastic and costly. I think let's see what we can get from the prisoners and from these writings. But if we don't get what we need, I think we could explore that.
Alright.
That's crazy, though. Literally crazy.
You people do crazy things for love.
For love, eh?
Who are you looking for?
Long ago, I narrowly avoided capture from the Scarlet Triad, but my brother was not so fortunate. We were the only people we had. We only had each other. I think he's still out there. I think the Triad still has him. My singular mission is to bring down this organization, get my brother back. The last lead I had died without giving up any information. You saw him. Benson executed him in your fort's walls. And this is the highest ranking member that I found. And once again, a member of your party executes them before I can get any information. I understood the last time. He had Adalar's blood on his hands. But this time it was just the heat of battle. And I thought I made my intentions clear that I wanted him. But you're maybe right. Maybe the information I seek is in these letters. But if not, I'm willing to literally go to hell and back. Bring souls back from where they belong in order to find out where he is.
If we don't find what we're looking for in these letters, I'll personally help you.
All right.
You didn't know him. You didn't know him long, but Adalar. He was the only person I was close with. And they took him, them and their very well-trained lathe.
There's a little scarlet triad symbol on the back of the lathe.
That lathe graduated top of its class at trap school.
Why didn't we ask your questions?
Just burned it to the ground. Needlessly. Every lead you destroy.
Well, the shop owner's like, I just bought that. Stop.
Who did you buy it from? Sunset Imports.
Oh, man, wouldn't that have been a good twist?
Jake, just ask us to write for you next time.
But
ask Paizo to write for you? I don't know.
When he took him from me, before his death, all I cared about was just greed and power. But now all I can think about is revenge. It's the first time I've ever fought for something besides for myself. I don't know what awaits me when I get to the end of this road. But right now I have a singular focus. That is revenge against everyone aligned with his murderers. So our goals align.
Indeed they do. When I first met you, Kezra, I didn't picture that we would be of one goal. But here we are.
He just, like, he realized that they'd been back here for a while.
We should get with the others. I think they're trying to lead the prisoners out. I should make sure that they all get the attention they need.
In the main,
do you want to go through the notes?
I think we'll just take them with us.
Yeah,
we'll just gather them. We're wounded. There's prisoners out here. We hear Benson being like, "Get out here!"
"Oh, don't worry. I'm sure the champion of Milani is very concerned with your freedom."
Yeah, we identified the rituals. Imprisonment is an 8th level ritual.
Ooh, yep.
Like,
what?
I don't even think we can use this right now.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. The target is one creature of up to 16th level.
Oh, damn.
Guys, but if we sell this book, we could have a sick down payment on a bed and breakfast.
You need six. You need six secondary casters.
What?
7 people have to cast this thing.
So we're not going to cast.
Well. So here's the thing. Imprisonment says you perform a ritual to imprison a creature in one of several forms. While some versions of this ritual offer all the forms, others include a single form, only a few of them, blah, blah, blah. Whichever form you use, the effect can't be counteracted, though it can be ended by freedom.
God damn.
The spell freedom, by the way, is a 8th level ritual.
God damn.
Some forms of imprisonment can be ended by other means, but the ritual requires the target to remain within 10 feet at all times. It typically requires you to subdue the target first.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's about capturing and then casting it, so that way they can't leave.
Whoa.
Forever.
Jesus.
So you can you can capture them by chains. So imagine like a chain devil or something like that, just being eternally held in an object. You shrink the creature into an inch height or transform it into an unsubstantial form whose body trails away into wisps below its head.
Oh my God.
By the way, you trap it inside a gem jar, bottle, lamp, or similar container.
Wow.
You have to cast that at ninth level.
Yes. Oh, yes.
This has heightened versions to this thing.
Oh yes, my gosh. Yeah, it changes the first one. Obelette. You entomb the target in a state of suspended animation deep beneath the surface of the ground and out of tune with reality, so it can't be reached by any means. You also prevent divinations from revealing the location where the imprisonment occurred.
Holy fuck. That's actually huge.
Powerful magic such as Wish can reveal the location of the imprisonment, but even such magic can't free the target from the obelisk.
You can't be freed only by a Wish.
You can't be freed by a Wish?
Be freed by Wish.
You have to cast. Yes. This is the 10th level version of this ritual. Yes.
Only 10th rank freedom ritual.
Oh my gosh.
Like, wow. That is fucking unbelievable.
Wish can tell you where they are. That's it.
Yeah. That's all you get out of that.
That's also this is also like terrible, terrible foreshadowing by Paizo's writers. Terrible foreshadowing.
Other options are prison. You render the creature completely unable to leave a particularly confined area or structure of your choice, such as a jail cell or sealed cave. It goes on to say that they can't damage the structure either. If the prison falls on them, they're not free yet.
I imagine just you trap them in a room and they try to break the glass and the glass just immediately regenerates.
Insanity
like that. You destroy things and they just instantly repair themselves. You can't get out.
Yeah. There's sleep or slumber. You put a creature into an internal sleep.
These
are 8th level. All of these are 8th level.
These are the other.
Object and obelette were higher.
Yeah, it's cool though because it's a lot of these say it ceases aging and doesn't require food or drink.
Interesting. Yeah, this is for trapping powerful things you can't kill. Yeah, it's like seven of your high level buddies together and you imprison them.
Yeah, this is where it's cute though. Under sleep, a single sincere physical display of affection from a creature who genuinely loves the target, whether romantically, filially, or otherwise, frees it from its slumber.
I was gonna ask.
Yeah.
But it has to be genuine. So no,
it has to be genuine.
No rando strangers.
Right. Yeah. Do you love this woman? I mean, I guess. Get out of here.
You gotta commit. Damn it.
Temporal stasis.
Oh man, that's a good one for because it says they don't age or require food or drink. I wonder if that's if they're dying and you need to find a way to save them, you put them to sleep and basically put them in a ageless state while you go out and find the cure.
Yeah, to find the cure. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Talk about a terrible story of someone searching far and wide, never finding the cure,
maybe
they find it. Yeah, and they're about to die. And they only resurrect their person, their friend, their lover, just so to watch them die.
It's a tragedy that writes itself.
You find,
and then can anyone ever genuinely love somebody who's just been asleep their whole life? If they just continue being asleep, you know what I mean? It doesn't say anything about how to turn this off besides freedom.
He put me in a small jail cell with a TV, just playing Friends.
The critical failure effect for this ritual.
Yeah.
You imprison yourself and the secondary casters in the same way you intended to imprison the target. Holy shit.
Instant TPK.
Well, I'm not a caster.
I guess you guys are living here now.
You create a prison that all 7 of you are stuck in forever.
And there's a TV, and the only thing that's getting shown is Friends on a loop.
It's only the intro.
Oh my god.
Oh god.
No matter how hard you hit the TV, it just fixes itself.
That is imprisonment. So that is a very fun spell.
Gosh. I don't know about fun.
I'll leave you go out to the main area where Laria Longrose is.
It's just me and Benson just entertaining the people. Hey.
No, Laria is entertaining.
She goes, that wizard didn't have magical robes or anything.
Yeah, seriously.
Nothing else on.
He had plus one striking Morningstar.
Hey, I'll take that.
Benson is like, sees that they're coming back, and he kind of addresses the whole group. He said, okay, me and my comrade Grimshaw here are going to walk down first. My two other comrades are going to be in the back of the group. I want you to walk with us as we go down the tower. Don't worry, we're going to lead you to safety.
Oh, please, sir Benson, I'm well aware of your abilities. You've freed all of us here. In fact, we are all in your debt right now. But truly this day goes to Desna and the other gods. Desna's grace has set us free by sending all of you. I, Larry Longroads, invite all of you to come to the Longroads Coffee House. Please, let's all recuperate, have a drink,
clearly,
and enjoy our freedom today.
Yeah, about that. We've already been at your coffee house. It's kind of in shambles right now. Covered in blood. Dead bodies.
Surely it has been cleaned up now. In fact, I was there when the fighting took place. Some of the prisoners I was not able to save, and so I gave myself to make sure that they kept their spirits up. Also, if they were taken somewhere, I wanted to know where it was. And I have information for you.
She's playing 4D chess.
Yeah, seriously. My God.
All up here, young man. All up here.
As always. You're one step ahead.
All right, we'll lead them to the coffee house.
Yeah,
seriously.
She leads you all to the coffee house. Larry Longroads, she starts speaking with you, Grimshaw, and she goes, "So, Grimshaw, when they were beating some of the other prisoners, I heard some of them talk about... have you heard of Summershade Quarry?"
I haven't,
Actually, have I?
Go ahead and make me a society check.
Society check. Let's see what my society is. Am I cultured or am I a dunce? 25.
Yeah. You've heard of it. It's sort of just a... It's a point of interest on a map kind of thing.
Yeah.
She goes, yes, you know the one, of course you do, you're bright lad. Summershade Granite Quarry is a place that I was not aware was in service anymore. And I'm afraid that these nefarious slavers have taken it over. It seems that they might be holding more prisoners there. From what I can tell, they were trying to capture more people and transport them there elsewhere. From there, I'm not too sure what the plan is, but if they are holding prisoners there, you must take your quest that direction. And you know it's due south, and you know it's quite a trek, so if you'll...
Is this an, island location, or...?
No. So you just go south from Cantargo, and eventually you get there. I don't have the distance right now, but it's a few days' travel, I believe.
I see. So Cantargo is just one piece of their pipeline.
Right, and if their pipeline goes all the way to the Manador Mountains, they probably have a pretty good setup there. Go talk to the Jaltaro family. They were the last owners of it. Perhaps they could give you some insight into this. I don't think Jaltaro would have been making deals with them, but perhaps he was muscled into it by some means.
I see. Was he part of the old guard at Cantargo, if you know what I mean?
No. Just a savvy and good-hearted business owner, but that's what makes me concerned, is that he was perhaps forced into some sort of deal with them, if they're using it.
Understood. We've come across a lot of good-hearted people in this city who have been forced into the wrong path.
Yes, I heard some of them talking about Sunset Imports. Apparently they beat that woman senseless in order to get access to her, into her entire shipping business.
Yeah. Another part of their pipeline. Bring him into the ports. sneak him to the tower. Head south.
The veins of evil go deep, Grimshaw, but we will rout them out.
Agreed. But won't stop until we've routed every single one. I'm not even so sure that we're done here in the city yet, but I feel as if we're close. I want to make sure that everything is wrapped up here before we head so far.
Of course not. We'll never be done. There'll still be small branches and splinters of it, but I promise you that we will weed out what we can.
Do you know much about the resurgence of the spirit here in Kentargo? The one of Barzalai's Throon?
Oh, yes. That damnable man decided to show his face again.
Yes.
No, I don't quite know about it, and I managed to shoo one of them away with a broom once. But as far as I'm concerned, it must have been something to do with these people here.
Do you have a solid correlation? I've only had conjecture, but nothing that links them directly.
Not exactly, but my connections are good, and I feel as though perhaps the wizard might have had something to do with it.
I was able to acquire some of his notes. It's written in a language that I do not natively know, but I have my ways of deciphering it. I'm going to be poring over those documents. Perhaps that'll help us wrap up this mystery. He did seem to have a penchant for summoning allies and beings from beyond. So perhaps the resurgence dies with him.
We can hope so, old chum.
Indeed.
All right, so I think we have our study the notes, patch up, suit up, head south.
All right.
We probably should talk to the emissary, the dude that we brought here.
Yeah, at the Emerald Court.
Yes.
The Emerald Court.
Yes.
Diplomat.
Another thing.
Because we did. Effectively determine who it was who was doing all this stuff.
That's true. I will say that I'll push you guys to read through the notes.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do first. Obviously.
Yeah.
Take a nap.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. You take a nap and it's a late reading.
Yeah.
She's just pouring us coffee the whole time. She's like, yeah. I can't stop shaking.
I just imagine it's kind of like all around a table, just the notes spread out on one of these, you know, coffee shop tables. Yeah, I'm sure that like, you know, Benson is probably tended to the people, and you know, this nice shop owner is probably tended to them. So we're all just pouring over the notes. Grimshaw's got his glasses on, trying to decipher.
So there are several pages of notes that you are penning through here. You realize that this wizard's name was Barashak. So Barashak had a very detailed plan to besmirch the Nidalee's diplomats with propaganda.
Whoa. There we go.
All right.
His main plan was to summon that ice devil.
Mm-hmm.
So he summoned the Ice Devil and said, go claim glory for the Midnight Lord and Nidal. And the devil went, all right, sure. He also explains that he was working with a few of Rakshasas who managed to bring back an image of Barzalai Throom by drawing upon latent traumas of the city to manifest his undead form. You can tell in his notes he is incredibly impressed with this occult magic.
That's cool. That's really cool.
He doesn't even understand how he did it. He's just like, these Rakshasas are more powerful than I can ever imagine, and I hope to understand how they work.
So the Rakshasas brought that back. Whoa. We killed the Rakshasas, so...
Yeah.
I like how you didn't answer that question. We killed the Rakshasas, and Jake was like, mm-hmm, yeah.
Wait, did he say how many?
He did not say.
There were three. Exactly three came into the city.
There's exactly three.
Here are pictures of them in the margins.
All in hands.
little hearts above their heads. So through all of these notes, you realize that his plan was working, mm-hmm. because they were, you know, that the townspeople were scared of these Night Elise diplomats, mm-hmm. and all the talk of Kintargo trying to like smooth that stuff over was very difficult, especially with the fact that an ice devil attacked, mm-hmm. claiming glory to the Midnight Lord. He almost succeeded at what he was trying to do.
But
here.
To what end? That's the thing.
The entire point of it was they wanted to tap what remaining lines of product were left in the city, and they could only do that if Kintargo wasn't looking.
Tap the remaining lines of product?
Uh-huh. Slaves.
Yeah.
So this is all a cover for them to snatch people.
Chaos.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
You can do a lot with chaos. So. Shit.
Well, we foiled their plans.
We didn't mutilate his body enough.
Oh, hold on.
Go back up, Sir Stan.
Yeah, just scrape off all the gold paint. Like, piece of shit.
Wait, it has to be mostly intact if I'm going to perform the resurrection ritual.
Wait, what was that?
Nothing.
Also, he's a Kalashade. He's just the skin.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious what the goldness was.
Oh, that Kalashade. Wasn't actually him. Okay.
Is there anything in the notes about the wizard that we're looking for, your girlfriend?
Whose girlfriend?
Mayus.
Mayus? Yeah, Mayus is a dude, but I mean, close talker. You know. Yeah, the close talker. The orb ponderer.
No. It looks as though if they were working together, they made sure to they had separate jobs.
Mm. Yeah, that little call to Mayus should have killed you when he had the chance. That's all I have.
Yep.
I mean, at least we got solid leads.
Yes.
So you do get the idea that he knew that Malus was working, because it in some of the notes it sort of hints that you guys won't be a problem anymore.
Oh wow! So he knew of us.
You're right.
Oh gosh.
So yeah. So but here's the thing is that reading that without context, you're just like, yeah, because he might have just finished his job. Mm. But you guys know, because you're working behind the scenes just like they were. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, so you have, you are getting ready to go to Summershade Granite Quarry. And you know that there's a town called White Rock. Mm. That's about 45 miles south of Kintargo, okay. along the banks of the Yolubilis River. Laria gives you all of this information, and she gets you set up with whatever you guys need.
You know how to transfer runes?
Yeah, I was about to say, we got some shit we need to do.
Yeah, Kezra honestly could use a good amount of time to retrain if we're not in a crazy hurry, because I need to, like, do a bunch of spell rebalancing, and that all takes time. Mm.
You guys do have time, and here's why I say that. They were expecting this shipment of prisoners. Mm. So whatever is happening at Summershade Granite Quarry, you know that they're waiting for Barishak.
Yeah, they were, okay.
Yeah.
So we saved all the people.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys have time if you do want to take some downtime. Now, every day that goes by, you know, morally, you know that these slavers are doing horrible things to these people and stuff like that. But
yeah.
We still need to talk to the Night Elise.
Yeah.
We could still keep pulling the thread of where Malus went.
And then there's, I just want to make sure that Barzalai's throne isn't going to pop up again, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, so I think we've probably stopped that from happening.
Well, we'll see. I mean,
yeah, maybe like, during the downtime we can tap the Recovering Bellflower Network to let us know if there's any more resurgence.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right.
Yeah, so actually just making sure while we're up on the top floor, was there anything else?
Let me check.
I know like they checked his body, but like
That was that was it.
Oh, gonna clean out these other bodies of the thugs.
They probably have some plus one striking whatever.
Oh, that's right. Yes, they had the plus one flail.
Okay. Each.
And yep. Okay. Plus one flail each, that was it.
Okay. Yeah, we have tons of like weapons that we need to like sell and liquidate and stuff like that.
Liquidate.
Literally,
all of our money's wrapped up in product. We need a. It's a liquid.
It's like I'll buy this. And you're like, well, I'll sell you a striking rune mace. How's that? Yeah, that's fine.
And there's that greater shadow armor runestone that I want to get attached to armor.
True, true.
Yeah, there's a lot to do.
So the So the night goes on. You guys are making all these plans. Mm-hmm. Want to shift to the base of Taniston Tower. The evangelist we know as Cardio.
That's right.
Is opening up the large door to Taniston Tower. And he hears, "Oh, finally a personal servant. I was looking." And he turns around and he sees Halika Shadeborn, the Nidalee's diplomat.
Match made in heaven.
And he goes...
Or wherever.
And he goes, no, I'm here to... I know, you're here to serve the Umbral Court. I am a member of the Umbral Court. I'm a diplomat. He goes, no, you don't understand. I'm here to serve... I know your purpose. Come now. And he gets, like, really firm with him. And then he goes, do you understand your place, Velstrak? And the Velstrak goes, yeah. Kind of likes it. I'll see you guys next time.
Yes. Yeah, he found the purpose.
Oh my god.
He found the purpose.
It makes me feel icky.
I know. Next time we see our guy, we're usually like, wait a second. You look familiar.
I just want him to be wearing a suit next time. It's just a chin.
Hey there, Punchers. Once again, reminding you to check out greenleafgeek.com and make sure to use Dragon Punch Squad when you go to checkout. They are closing up, so make sure to get in and get whatever inventory is left. They still have a lot of amazing things available, so check them out, and I will see you in the next episode.